So today's reading is up on the screen. It's Acts 2, 1 to 21. And if you want to follow in the Bibles, it's on page 1093. But as, of course, as you know, it's up on the screen. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Elaine. So, we've been doing our sermon on the Holy, our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking Pentecost is such a good day, isn't it, to be thinking about the Holy Spirit and His work. We remember again when the Spirit was poured out in all His fullness. Barriers were broken down. The church was empowered. The gospel was preached with courage and the Spirit-given words which spoke straight to people's hearts. People's lives were transformed and the church was born. Quite a day. Jesus had ascended back to glory with his Father, and now the Father had sent the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Counselor. And he was going to strengthen and enable the church to continue with the kingdom work which Jesus had started. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has always been present. However, before Pentecost, God's Spirit had been restricted to specific locations, specific people, specific times. But now God wanted the Holy Spirit to be poured out, available at all times, anywhere, and for everyone, to all who would seek God. And that includes us. So today we're going to be thinking specifically about the Spirit's heartbeat, hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit. The Spirit's heartbeat is God's heartbeat. The Spirit always leads us back to the Father and to Jesus. The heart of God, what is the heart of God? The heart of God is the essence of who He is, what He desires, His will and His purposes. And what is His heartbeat? We see it all the way through Scripture. His heartbeat is what it's always been, for people to know Him, to live in relationship with Him, to live life to the full in His kingdom ways, as we were created to. What do we see of the heartbeat of God in the Bible? I was looking through, thinking about the Old Testament through to the New Testament, and here are a few highlights of what I saw of God's heartbeat. God loves all people and wants them to know Him and His love. God has a heart especially for the broken, the marginalized, the poor, the outcast. God cares about the widow and the orphan. God opposes the proud, but raises up the humble. God cares about the whole of creation, big and small. God cares about justice and truth and how people treat each other. God hates sin. Anything that will damage people and stop them from being close to Him. God loves us and He pours out His unlimited mercy and compassion. He doesn't want anyone to perish. From our passage today in Acts, we see that when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers, they were transformed as they opened their lives and their hearts to Him. The outpouring of the Spirit brought unity. Barriers were broken down, barriers of language and nationality, barriers of fear. The outpouring of the Spirit brought deep joy among the believers and led them to worship, praising God in loud voices, not caring who saw them or what they thought. The outpouring of the Spirit brought a deep desire and passion to share the good news of the gospel with the people around them. They couldn't help but tell people about the amazing love of God and that Jesus had risen from the dead. The Spirit gave them the words and the wisdom to do so. Their hearts and their lives began beating more like God's. When we listen to and hear the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit, then our hearts can begin to beat more in that same rhythm. We can begin to care about what God cares about, be saddened by what makes God sad, rejoice in the things which give God joy, have insights into God's plans and purposes, how He is at work, and how what He's wanting to do in us and through us. I love the verses in Psalm 37 which say, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. As we delight ourselves in Him, then He changes our hearts. The desires of our hearts become more like the desires of His heart. If the desires of our hearts are about making lots of money or having lots of power or just about ourselves and our own comfort and blessing, not caring about other people, then God will not give us those desires. But when we allow him to shape our hearts, then our desires will be in line with his desires, sharing his love and good news, blessing others, serving others, seeing God's kingdom come. Then he gives us the desires of our hearts. And the shaping of our hearts, what does that come from? That comes from delighting in him, spending time with him, listening to him, worshiping, learning more of who he is and what he's like. It's not just about hearing the Spirit's heartbeat. It's about resonating with him. And here is an example, which is like a parable from the world of science, which shows us what amazing kind of things can happen with resonance. Thanks, John. So, for the scientific amongst us, I'm sure we can be amazed at resonance and the physics of it all and how it impacts things. for the less scientific amongst us like myself, we can go, wow, such pretty patterns from just some sound. That is amazing. So resonance changes things. If we allow him to, the Holy Spirit will shape us so that we resonate with the heartbeat of the Father. Are we resonating with him? When we're doing that, we'll be passionate about what he is passionate about. We'll take our position in God's plans and purposes. We'll be aligned with each other in unity as we line up with what the Spirit is saying and doing. Not identical, not all the sand or the flames were in the same place at the same time in the video, but in harmony, taking our place in the pattern. So how do we hear the Spirit's heartbeat? In order to hear his heartbeat, we need to stay close to him. I love the picture at the Last Supper where John, the beloved disciple, leans against Jesus as they're at the table. In those days, people didn't sit up on chairs at the tables like we do today, but they lounged beside the table on cushions or couches. It's amazing to think that as John leaned against Jesus, he was literally hearing the heartbeat of God. I was thinking too about different places in the Bible which speak about our hearts and God's heart. Scripture tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he made mistakes. He didn't always get it right, but his desire was to be open to God. He was in touch with God's heart, and he was ready to change and to serve and to obey and to allow God to work in his heart so that his heart could beat in resonance with God's heart. 2 Corinthians tells us that when we choose to be followers of Jesus, we are a new creation. As a new creation, we have new eyes to see spiritual truths, new ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and a new heart, which is not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, which can beat in time with God's heartbeat and move us to love people because they are precious to God. Sometimes it's painful hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit, because sometimes it's a heart full of pain when we see the brokenness of our world and people far from God. And yet, as we continue to listen to the Spirit's heartbeat in the pain, then we can have the privilege of joining with God in his work through prayer, crying out to him to intervene in the lives of people and situations around us. So what does this look like in our everyday lives, this resonating with the Spirit's heartbeat? I was thinking about different people in our congregation and the passions which God has put on people's hearts. We have people who are passionate about young children, supporting them, caring for them, teaching them, providing a safe place for them to play and make friends, teaching them about Jesus. We have people who are passionate about parents, helping them, supporting them with the difficult job of parenting. People who are passionate about children who need a home and family through fostering or adoption. People who are passionate about the homeless. People who are passionate about the environment. People who are passionate about welcoming, loving, and caring for refugees. People who are passionate about the persecuted church. People who are passionate about supporting those who are struggling in their marriages, counseling people who are bereaved. People who invite people round for a cup of tea because they hear the heartbeat of the Spirit for the lonely. People who are passionate about excellence in business, caring for their employees, encouraging creativity in the workplace. And that, as I'm saying these things, I can look around and see you, people here who all of those things, there's different people here, that this is true of different people in our congregation. And that is just a snapshot, because there's lots of other things, lots of other passions that I don't know about and that there isn't time enough to mention. People hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit and responding. It's different for each of us. Let me share a little bit of what it's like for me. Sometimes my son has a friend who has suffered from lots of illness. I know him a bit, but not particularly well. I haven't met him that many times. But there was a year or so when he was really not well. And whenever my son spoke to me about this friend of his, I would cry. And it was just, it was not coming from me. It was like God put that on my heart, this compassion for my son's friend. And that weeping led me to pray. And so I prayed an awful lot for him during that year. And I don't know exactly how God used that or why it was, but I do know that God was at work and God was using that. And I mean, I don't feel that anymore. It was for a certain time, and I know that God was just calling me to really pray into that situation. Sometimes hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit means feeling anger in a situation where there is injustice. What do we do with that anger? I think that hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit always leads us to pray, to bring those things back to God. There was a time when I felt the Spirit's anger about a situation of domestic violence that a friend of mine was in. And we ended up praying, first of all, but then hosting the mum and her children for 6 weeks in our house until she could sort out somewhere else to live. So sometimes hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit is just about praying. God wants us to pray into that situation. Sometimes God's calling us to do more than that and to step out and to do something, have some kind of action about it as well. Sometimes hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit will lead to joy and laughter when we see God's pleasure about something that's happening. These are my beloved children. With you, I am well pleased. You're doing a great job. How nice to hear the heartbeat of the Spirit telling us those things. Last week, Will was preaching from Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25 of that chapter tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's synchronize our lives to listen to the Spirit, walk with him, like Jesus, doing the things that we see the Father doing, keeping our heart beaten with his. Within this, there are times when we need to walk, times to rest, times to persevere, times to run. We need to listen to him and hear him speaking to hear which time this is. I expect that quite a few of us here have got a Fitbit or an Apple Watch which checks on our physical heartbeat, make sure that our heart is beating regularly, that we're pushing it hard enough, but not too hard, reminds us when we need to move and get the blood flowing. What about our spiritual heartbeat? Do we need a reminder for when we're not taking the time to check in with God, listen to him, and walk in step with the Spirit? Do we need a hard heart alert for when our hearts are not caring for people like his heart does? Do we need to get some spiritual exercise, spending time with him, reading his word, time in worship? Am I ready to be obedient in the things that he's prompting me to do? Resonating with the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit means that we are willing to not always understand and not always be in control of what God does in us and through us. Peter and the other disciples on the day of Pentecost were certainly not expecting to end their day out on the streets seeing 3,000 people being added to the church. It'll mean taking risks. We won't always get it right, and sometimes it'll be painful. And yet, we will have the joy and the privilege of taking our part in the beautiful pattern, which is the people of God responding to the heartbeat of God and making a difference in our world. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you teach us and long for us to lean in and be close to you so that we can hear your heartbeat and respond to that. And today, Father, we take a minute to check in with our heartbeat, our spiritual heartbeat. We pray that you will open our ears to hear. We pray that you'll come and speak to us by your Holy Spirit, and you'd be stirring up passions in our hearts. And we pray you'd lead us and guide us and show us how you want us to respond. Holy Spirit, come.